and welcome to the Indie Film Review. Yes, that's right. It is the independent filming review of your dreams and hopes.
Of
the one you yearn for.
Of the dreams and the hopes and all of everything that you could possibly imagine. We have it right here for you on this lovely little podcast, except we only talk about the indie films. We leave everything else aside. So if you came for something that's not indie film, we have it, but we're not giving it to you.
Yeah, we've seen it. We know of it, but we won't talk about it. I'm Jared. That's Dan. Welcome to the show. I appreciate you listening at least 1 minute in.
You know, you got to take the small victories. You're right.
Hey, you know what? It counts in the algorithm. We've already tricked you. You're in this far.
We got them downloads, baby.
As soon as we get that number to click over, we make like 10 grand. So,
but honestly, that does not mean that you should stop listening right now. That means you should continue to listen because you like our chemistry and you, of course, love indie movies. That's why you're listening. Duh.
Exactly. And it is true. I mean, we get the 10 grand, but like the longer you listen, the more money we do make. So we could possibly make up to 100 grand depending on how long you get through the episode.
Possibly.
That's just how the... I know it's like tough, you know, you're like, oh, 100 grand, that's not a lot of money, but, you know, it's podcasting, man. I mean...
But yeah, podcasting, exactly. It's such huge amounts of money that just fall into our laps. It's ridiculous. So, Jared, this week, we watched a film, an indie film called Lie Low. Where did this come from? Who suggested
this? That's a great question. It's done by Jamie Noel. I don't know if he suggested it.
I don't think he did.
Probably.
Maybe he did. Maybe. I don't know. So written and directed by Jamie Noel. This is his first feature film, which I gotta say, I'm impressed.
Is it his first? Let me confirm that.
His first feature film. He's done a bunch of shorts.
Done a lot of shorts. Okay. Yeah, gotcha. Damn, this is his first?
Yeah, right.
Let me see. Yep, you are right. You are absolutely right. It's a film was done in the UK. I believe the budget was like 15 grand.
That's pretty good.
Let me try to confirm that.
Estimated. Done in the UK, but also on IMDb, it's rated 5 stars out of 10,
mm-hmm.
which is a strange deterrent. Like I normally would scoff at a film that is 5 stars out of 10, but as you can tell of me letting on that I really enjoyed this film.
Well, it's interesting because if you look at the ratings and then you look at the people who have reviewed this, the only two negative reviews, one guy who says he couldn't understand the dialogue because the dialect was too hard for him.
I will say that I started with subtitles and then I got used to it and I turned them off.
Yeah, I also use subtitles, but I just thought it was funny that this guy's like, I don't understand what they're saying. I can't understand their accents. I'm like, turn on fucking subtitles, dummy. Yeah, because I had to get used to how they spoke as well. Because we're stupid Americans.
America.
And then the other guy, this other reviewer, I actually want to get into.
Okay, cool.
We'll talk about him later after we've talked about the movie for a little bit.
Nice.
Because this dude is fascinating to me. Because he gave the movie 1 star. And it's spicy.
You know, speaking of IMDb reviews, Jared, I think I want to start just I'm going to create a IMDb page or a account, and I'm going to just 1-star review every movie I've ever seen, even if I like it. I think
What this guy does, apparently. That's what this reviewer does. So anyways, before we get into this reviewer that I want to make fun of, please tell us what Lilo is about.
Okay, so Lilo is about a mother and a son who have to get away from their house for some unknown reason. It's strange. There's like kind of shady things happening. But the mother, she goes to her daughter's house, her estranged daughter's house, and assumes that she's going to be welcome there, but you can tell that there's tension between mom and the daughter. And we find out that the mom's like, oh, we have a fire problem. Like, there was a fire. Like, who says we have a fire problem?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so there's a fire, apparently, and she needed somewhere to stay really quick. And we find out the truth behind that as the movie goes on. And you get multiple generations kind of clashing. You get... So basically, in this family, there is... Mom and son come to daughter's house. Daughter lives with her husband slash boyfriend. I don't know. And then dad of the boyfriend lives with daughter and son.
Yes.
So.
It's even more complicated than that, too. Because then there's the stepbrother.
Yeah.
Of the mom and brother and sister. Who's not there, but he is a character.
Was he a stepbrother? I thought he was a brother.
He is a brother on the mother's side.
Oh, okay.
But not the father.
Yeah, there's a lot.
It's confusing.
There's a lot to this film. And it's handled exceptionally well for like how much is juggled in the narrative.
Yes. It seems like for a lot of the UK films that we watch that are independent, at least. Maybe it's for all of them. I don't know. But like... They tend to really like to make complicated narratives.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was, I was able to follow it the most out of all the ones that we've seen on the show.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought it was laid out in a very cohesive way.
Absolutely. It was laid out in a cohesive way, but it was so engaging. Like there was not a dull moment of the story because the way it's written, it's like, there's going to be inherent tension there where it's like you can tell the daughter doesn't like the mom being there. She's trying to be welcoming in the time of need, but she still can't let things go. And that just, it's such a tense relationship that every single scene, you're just waiting for something to erupt, and it does.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like every character sees another character totally differently than, like, all of the characters just have such weird different affinity, like how... The brother thinks her sister's boyfriend's dad is kind of like a cool dude.
Yeah.
But yet, the boyfriend's girlfriend thinks the dad is like a creep.
Yeah.
And this is going to be, boy, I'm already knowing that, like, it would have been nice if we learned these names. But, like, there's a lot of names.
Well, okay, Bill is the dad. I'm pretty sure Bill is the dad.
Okay.
Esme is the daughter's name.
I have no guarantees I'm going to remember any of this, but
Maggie is the mom. The mom. Esme is the daughter. It's some weird P name.
P name. That's it.
No. Fuck. What's
P name? Winnie the P name.
Parnell. Parnell's his name.
Parnell. Yeah, that's an interesting
Parnell name. Is the main character, I guess you would say, or the main person in the conflict, and the wife or the husband of the sister is Alfie. So you have Bill,
Alfie.
You have Bill, Maggie, Alfie, Esme, and Parnell, and those are the ones that you need to know.
Alfie.
And
okay,
then
so Dan,
Marty is that estranged brother that you were talking about.
Yeah. Why don't we do some questions?
Why don't we do some questions?
Son of a bitch. Did you like the locations?
I loved the locations. I thought they were all beautiful, especially their house. So basically, like, apparently Esme lives in the French countryside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful home. Like, she must be well off, or somebody's well off. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that dad must be making that bank.
Making that bank! Even though he's a hippie. Well... Yeah, I liked all the locations. I liked especially I liked the house especially, but whenever they went into the town and they were trying to find their mom, that was a pretty cool scene. Like, I liked the way mm-hmm. the neighborhood looked, essentially. Jaren, were you
yes.
bothered by the fact that you were kept in the dark of what actually happened the entire movie?
Okay, so I was kind of annoyed because after 30 minutes, you still don't really understand what this film is going to be about. And I was like, what? What is this? Like, what is going on? What is this?
There's blood here.
I felt like a character in a Resident Evil game. Jill's blood. But the idea that it is ambiguous and you're like, why are they really here? That mystery behind it builds so well because you can start figuring it out, you know. I did get a little annoyed, I'll admit, okay. Of like, because we will cut to like other characters searching for the boy and the mom and the people at the fancy house.
Dude.
And you're like, what's going on with them? You know?
Once you figure it, like, I like how this film let that breathe. Like, it doesn't hit you over the head with what's going on. So
certainly.
You get these two characters, Malk and I forgot the other guy, but the guy, can we spoil it? I guess we can't spoil it yet.
No, not yet.
Fuck. Basically, the two other characters, their shit, the more you watch them, the more you're like, oh, fuck, I think I know what's going on. And it gets pretty intense with those two characters. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty awesome.
Shit gets real. Okay. So, yes, I'll admit, at first that did bother me, but it made sense as the film went on. And I actually grew to
appreciate it
and enjoy it. I think the camera work... I grew
two extra toes.
The camera work and... just the sound design and everything in this movie was so well done. And it just makes me scratch my head when you look at the budget and everything else. I'm just like, how did they do it?
Some people are just good. How did they do it? Some people just know how to make a fucking movie.
Gosh, man. Yeah. And there's little things in this film that are hinted at. And then you're kind of like, what's the deal with that? But it's not like in your face, you know? And then later on, and when it comes into play, you're like, oh, that's fun. So I love kind of stuff like that where it's not necessarily a mystery, but a character motivation that's kind of given to you in plain sight without them actually telling you what they're going to do. Without them actually turning to the camera and saying, this is what I'm going to do. That's nice.
You there. This is how I'm going to act my scene.
Yes. What will I do in the climax?
I certainly hope that my character lives to the end.
No, yes. I thought you were going to be way more suggestive with your joke there. So,
oh, my bad.
Dan, good job.
Thanks. I had one job and I failed.
Become lewd and crude, but you were a good boy and you're going to get a gold star later at the end of this episode.
Did you want to see my dick?
Oh,
there. Do I get my Star Trek?
Are you a physician? Why does it hurt when I pee?
What the fuck are we doing?
We like to have fun here. Okay, Dan. Yes. Did any of these characters remind you of real people in your life? You don't have to, I guess, explain who they are. Necessarily.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. That might be why I was so enthralled with this narrative, is because the character development just, it hit pretty close to home on a couple things.
Yeah, I felt the characters were very real.
Yes, absolutely. And the chemistry between all the characters, the family, it was beautiful. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's beautiful in the sense of it's a really fucked up story. But beautiful nonetheless.
Yeah, and I think it's relatable with a lot of different families of how, like... here's what I'll say. The film doesn't feel like Hollywood, if that makes sense. Like, these characters
feel believable. It
doesn't, and
I will say, if we are thinking about films that involve family, I'm going to put Lilo on the top, Parasite at number two. Actually, no, The Host at number two, then Parasite. Than the Fast and the Furious.
Oh, hey, I wanted to tell you. I started watching Mother.
Oh.
A couple nights ago. And I didn't get to finish it. I want to finish it. But it's so good.
It's a fucking amazing
good so
movie.
Far. It's so good.
Wait, it's the Korean one, right?
Yeah. It's the same guy who did Parasite.
Yeah, okay, good.
So, anywho, let's get into the film. We're going to spoil it now. If you want to see this movie, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, go I highly recommend this too. We found it on Amazon. Just go fucking watch it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you can, if you can get past them UK accents, I mean, geez.
These people speak differently than me. I hate it.
All right. So here's the spiel, guys. This is what actually happens.
Yeah.
Apparently, Parnell and his half brother are going, like, they're in a gang or something, and they're going to threaten this kid by stabbing him in the leg or the ass, is what he says, and he ends up killing the kid with a knife.
Stabs him 26 times.
Yes. So his reasoning behind it was, he started to get up, and I didn't want him to get up, so I had to finish the job, basically. Now,
yeah, he was afraid.
This sets events in motion where mom doesn't know exactly what happened. She thinks it was a half-brother that did it, and she takes Parnell away from it and ends up at Esme's house. But the the kid who was murdered, I believe his name is Savs, or like that's his nickname, and his brother goes on a fucking rampage trying to find who's responsible. And they barge into houses, and they're like, where is this guy? And then they spend the entire movie looking for the half-brother. They find him, murder the shit out of him, and want to go after Parnell. So Parnell is in danger eventually. Meanwhile, at the
house... Savory is the name of the character. Savory, maybe a nickname, I don't know. But this dude is just the Sledgehammer Man. Because
Sledgehammer Man.
He is walking around with his sledgehammer, just fucking sledging everybody. And it is implied heavily that not only does he kill the half-brother, but he kills the half-brother's girlfriend.
Yeah. So the half-brother is... I love the way they filmed it. I love the way they filmed it because they didn't show you enough, but they showed you just the right amount to be like, that guy's fucking murdered. And it was kind of an underwhelming murder, but that made me feel good because it was like, it was super realistic. Like, it wasn't a dramatized murder. It's just like, he just straight up came in there and hit him with a sledgehammer and he's dead. Mm-hmm. Oh my fucking God.
And his buddy that's with him trying to get this revenge, he is so freaked out that like his friend is killing people. He's like, I don't even want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
So like later on when they're at the gas station, this scene is so good. And he's like, hey, do you want anything from the shop? He's like, no, I don't want anything. And the murderer guy goes to get food or whatever. His friend jumps into the driver's seat and is contemplating leaving him there.
Yeah.
And then his friend comes back. And then that whole confrontation of him like, dude, I'm sorry, man. Like, I can't get into this. Like, I have a kid and like, I never wanted to kill anyone. And he's like, just leave me the keys and get out of here, man. Just
now... leave. And I'm the like, other this thing,
is nuts.
So while they are going on their rampage, because it cuts in between that and this other story of mom getting Parnell to Esme's house and hiding out.
Mm-hmm.
So while they are there, mom and Esme fight constantly, and Parnell is kind of, you know, withdrawn and not talking to anybody. And he has kind of a couple heart-to-hearts with his sister, but he becomes fascinated with his sister's boyfriend's dad, Bill. And Bill is this old dude who experiments with, like, you know, peyote-type shit. And he spent some time down in South America, so he knows the rituals that... like, he just understands basic philosophies of life, and he practices weird religions that he picked up while he was in South America.
He seems like a healer. Like, yeah. I think that is his actual job, is he's like a psychologist healer type dude. People come to him when they have issues, and he gets accused of abusing his power for one of his patients by his own son.
Mm.
And his son is like, stay away from this kid. He's got enough problems as it is. Don't try to help him. But this potential, the Lilo main character guy, he keeps getting drawn to Bill.
Yeah.
And he keeps asking him for help, I guess. And it's interesting because, like, you have all that whole dynamic, and I'm like, whoa, his own son is kind of, like, snippy at him, but yet he lives in his house. And then the son's girlfriend, who's living there in the expensive house, even she is very, not even standoffish, but almost like saying fuck you with like every time she speaks to him.
Yeah.
Like, get away from me. Like, shit like that. You're like, whoa, what happened there? So it, there's a lot of little things they set up to where like, oh, how did he take advantage of this woman seeking his help? Like,
yeah,
probably wasn't good.
Yeah.
Because everything else led you to believe that Bill was like a really cool dude. And I was exactly. This guy's cool. I like him. And then there's just this weird undertone of like, is he a raper? What did he do? But
then that makes the ending.
It adds that second layer.
Yeah, it makes the ending really cool because you're like, oh shit. Because at first I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, the ending was crazy good.
Blew my mind.
The ending is so good. Man, that ending is great.
Okay, so.
Now, did you catch this?
Okay.
So, the daughter who's living in the expensive house, whenever she goes to her job, there's a scene of, like, this guy with tattoos that, like, sneaks up behind her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who that is?
Is that her half-brother?
Yeah, I think that's her fucking stepbrother.
That's what I was, like, it's implied that he has sex with her and she's, he abuses her sexually and she didn't tell anybody about it. That's kind of the implication the
entire time. Yeah, and that's what causes so much tension between her and her mom.
Yeah.
She's mad at her mom for, like, maybe not doing anything about it, but she might not even know that it happened.
Well, her mom is mad at Esme. So, mom is mad at Esme for saying that the brother sucks, and Esme's mad at mom because brother sexually abused her and she's doesn't understand. Like, it's a huge, tense ball of that just it just erupts every single time that they're on camera together. And after they apologize to one another, they still fuck everything up and get on each other's cases again.
There was one scene that annoyed me where the daughter finds out that they're there to actually hide from a murder.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, well, I'm going to call the police. And the mom runs up, grabs the phone, and starts slapping her in the face to take the phone away. And then the stepdad is like, okay, daughter, you need to apologize. And she's like, okay, I apologize, mom. I'm sorry. I tried to take the phone or like tried to call the police. And I'm like, it's your phone. Your mom's attacked you. Why are you apologizing? Why is the mom not apologizing? I'm like, this is crazy. That kind of annoyed me. But it felt realistic because, of course, they would make her apologize because she's younger and they wouldn't put any blame on the mom. Oh, damn it. It just adds to the whole, like, tension of the film.
It does. Like, this film understands tension and how to exercise it and employ it in certain areas, certain times. Like, I feel like the tension is paced very well because that's kind of the driving force of the narrative is how tense everything gets.
Okay, Dan, here's another question for you. I know we're past questions, but we can speak with spoilers now. So, how did you feel about the trippy interlude
that was fucking rad?
When he went on his peyote trip.
I was so happy about that.
What a weird direction the film went at that time.
It was amazing.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah, so Bill gets Parnell into his domain, and he starts doing his healing trick. And Parnell drinks the peyote and just goes on a wild fucking kaleidoscope ride that we get to see. And I'm like, yes, more.
It was actually kind of cool because then we got a little flashback of what potentially did happen.
He put himself in Sav's shoes because he had the stab wounds.
Yep.
That was really weird.
He did.
That was a creepy ass nightmare for sure.
And then after that, he's like, okay, I know I have to turn myself in now. I know what I did was wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though I'm afraid of going to jail, like, I need to face the consequences of what my actions were. And I'm like, oh, that's fucking cool. But then what he doesn't realize, I mean, at the very end, his mom tells him, like, because you killed this boy, the retaliation was that your stepbrother was killed.
Yeah.
And he was very close to his stepbrother,
yeah.
But the sister wasn't. She's like, I don't give a shit about him. He fucking molested
okay,
me.
Okay, so let's, because we're running out of time. I want to, like, let's break down the ending. Let's talk about that review, and then we'll close out. So the ending is so fucking crazy because mom is like, you motherfucker, you fucked everything up. To Parnell, she says this to him, and he's like, what the fuck? And she goes away, and he's just left crying, basically. Parnell goes goes to his sister's house, then hangs himself in the courtyard area, basically.
Yep.
And John Savory comes up with a sledgehammer. Save
John Savory.
So dun, dun, John Savory is there. John Savory is there to kill Parnell, but he ends up saving him from killing himself. And in the moment of him killing or saving him, behind John Savory comes Bill and
the hippie,
and Esme looks to the right, and then John Savory looks to the right, and the hippie just has the fucking sledgehammer up in the air and swings as hard as he can in slow motion. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So
he kills him exactly the same way that John Savory kills the stepbrother.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly the same way.
But you never thought Bill was going to do that. That was crazy.
No way. Yeah, it was nuts. And then he's thinking like, oh, he's saved somebody when there was no need for him to do that.
Exactly.
Anyways.
So like we said, that kind of adds to his layers of like, what did he actually do in the past? Is he not that good of a person because he so flippantly picked up a sledgehammer and murdered somebody with it?
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I really like the way they show fear or regret in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Because they do this like flickering, shaking type of thing with the camera whenever they're showing something that isn't really there. So when the character, because there's a lot of like characters being traumatized, whether it's through like the murder or sexual abuse or whatever. And whenever that happens, the film is very clear about like, this is something you are seeing visually, but it is not really there. It's the feeling that these characters have. And they really go into like the feeling of killing somebody or taking someone's life and how that really changes you and like traumatizes you as a person.
Right.
And I just think they do such a good job of that. It's really cool. Because at first you're kind of like, what's going on? And then I started to understand the motif of doing this camera trick. And I'm like, this is really cool.
Yeah, exactly.
The way they're expressing this. Okay. Very quickly, before we end, I want to get into this stupid reviewer.
PSX Expertin.
PSX Expertin. If you look at this guy's list... Okay. Okay. So, Dan, we're going to play a quick game. I want you to guess 1 out of 10 what he rated
just by reading
films
the title? So you're
going to
read the title and I got to guess the rating?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. The Mist, 2017.
My guess is he liked that, The Mist, 2017.
Nope! 1 out of 10. What the fuck? Worst movie I've ever seen.
Okay, next.
All right. I'm trying to pick movies that you've probably heard of. A Quiet Place,
2018.
1 out of 10. 1 out of 10! Don't waste your time on this stinker.
I think I've seen a pattern emerging.
Overlord.
Overlord? Okay, 1 out of 10.
1 out of 10, worst crap ever, don't waste your time. And it goes on and on and on. It doesn't matter how good or how bad the films are. 80 plus films he's rated, they are all 1 out of 10.
Jesus.
And what is also bizarre is that a lot of the language he uses is the exact same for every single film. Like, he will say these same sentences and the same things for
maybe he's a bot.
It doesn't matter what the movie is. So it has to be a troll, right?
Or a bot.
That's so weird. A fucking bot. Like, why do you have a bot that, like, one stars everything?
Tell me, can you read for me what it says? His review of Lilo.
Oh, yeah, I can do that. Another stinker. Words cannot express how terrible this movie is. Watching paint dry is quicker and more interesting. Script non-existent as well
what
as plot.
What the fuck?
Bore yourself to death. Worse than passing a kidney stone.
Jesus.
Don't believe all the 10 ratings. It's from friends of the cast and crew. Now, he says this on several other reviews, almost verbatim. So it's a fucking troll. Like, I don't even know if he's even seen the movie. I'm not saying people can't give one-star reviews, whatever, but, like, I just thought this guy was so nondescriptive and so, like, angry at this film that it's clearly not bad to me, in my opinion. I was like, what's the deal? And I looked him up and I'm like, oh, he just does this. I'm just like...
It's his spare time. It's his hobby. See, what's we weird do a podcast. He should do a podcast.
For some of his reviews, he says, like, I made an account just to shit on this. And that is not true. That is categorically not true because he's been doing this since 2017. And he would say this for reviews of this year.
Real,
so
what
I'm
an
like,
asshole.
What is going on? So he's counting on people only seeing this one review and not looking at the rest of his reviews. And it's fucked up. I don't know.
What an ass. What a little asshole.
So that's why you should always, you know, take reviews into consideration when you have them, but look at the source, you know?
What we're trying to say, what Jared is trying to say is you should only listen to us for reviews.
Yes.
And only watch the movies that we watch.
Yes. And dress and act like us at all times and and just be us.
Yeah.
The only way to be paid us enough is to send us money. We are the shaman of the independent filming review space.
Are we? And then yes. I just have the little shaky tree and that
What, Dan, why is it when you do the shaky tree it just looks like you're miming jacking off? That's weird. That's weird to me. All right, guys. I think that's everything.
Yes,
thanks
find us where you're going to find us. We are on Twitter at IndieFilmPod. We're on Instagram at IndieFilmReviewPod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, Indie Film Review. And, of course, you can find us on Podbean, IndieFilmReview.podbean.com. Jared, why don't you tell the lovely people about the Necrobotico Network?
Oh, Necrobotico Network! It is a network with necros and poticons. Necropodicon.com. It has a lot of really great, fun and interesting and sexy and voluptuous podcasts that everyone can enjoy. And they got D&D podcasts. They have comedy podcasts. They have a horror podcast. They got so many fucking podcasts. Let me tell you about the podcast I'm listening to right now. I am listening to Grow Out of It. It's one of the newer podcasts we have. And it is about two lovely young ladies who read their own fanfics that they wrote when they were like 12 years old.
Oh, that's
but they're reading
awesome.
Them now as adults. And it is fucking hilarious because they're really good at writing. And it's funny for them to look back at the shit that they wrote when they were young and make fun of it and critique it. So if you like people reading fanfics and like making fun of it,
you're going to fucking like love F+ this show.
Yeah. It's similar to F Plus, but it's their own stuff. That's what's good about it.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
That's the different twist, you know? And they're taking submissions. I'm kind of annoyed because, like, I want to submit something, but I have nothing to submit. So I'm like, I'm going to make something up. But that's not fun. It's got to be a real thing.
Does it have to be fanfic? Because
I think what they're going for is real things you wrote when you were younger.
Well, I
but
wrote
if they allow me
younger.
To just make some shit up, I will do it.
I may have to, because I got something that I wrote like in a creative writing class in college, like what 10 years ago that I think might be good.
Is it? You think it'd be funny? Maybe you should.
Okay. So it's about like 10 years ago, Florida had like a blood shortage, and they kept advertising it on TV, and it was right around the time that Governor Christie was elected. So I said that the whole story is about how some dude in Florida thinks that he's a vampire and he travels to Tallahassee to kill him.
Oh my God. And that person is Nicolas Cage.
Exactly. I don't know. We'll think about it.
Anyways,
please tell people about us as always. Word of mouth is our best friend. So please do that.
Yeah. Yeah, use the words in your mouth to tell other people
about the words in your
friendly
mouth.
And non-threatening way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thank you all again so much for listening. Please tell other people about the show, like we said. Dan, you have the final word.
My name is PSX Expertin. Another stinker. Words cannot express how horrible this movie is. Watching paint dry is quicker and more interesting. Script non-existent as well as plot. Bore yourself to death. Worse than pressing a game show.